Blog Talk Radio.
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio coming to you live from the studios in Shingle Springs, California, here from Studio B. And today was a romantic day here on the ranch. I spent the day fixing lawnmowers. Yes, lawnmowers. And I just realized that it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. And we have a few folks in chat. It's a quiet night out here. We got John, that's me, Kathy's Distant Echoes, our moderator. We have Dan and Philly Fever. So we have you guys in chat. Not sure what time our guest is going to be calling in. I think it was going to be between 8:10 to 8:30. So I think I can just sit there and get into just chatting away and talking about things. We just came off of listening to Jason over there at oh, goodness gracious me. My brain just went dead. I was just listening to Paranormal Guys. That's it. Paranormal Guys, and Jason out there, he is having some his own issues out there, just like I've been through. And let me tell you, you can't make everybody happy in this world. And boy, if you were able to, it'd be bloody miracle. So I think the best thing to do is just be yourself and get out there and have a good time, and go forward from there. So, you know what? I think I might have made a mistake on the show posting with the chat. For those of you who are listening in, if you want to get to our chat room. I see Digby just dropped in. Good to see you. Paranormal.ghost-writer-investigation/chat will get you in. And I don't think I put the button out tonight. So if I did make that mistake, I do apologize. For those of you that want to get in, just look at some of the other chat links from past shows on my page. And Ketrel is here. Good to see you. And look at the cool icon. That's cool. Anyway, it's been a real challenging week. And yesterday, of all things, I got up in the morning and went up to get coffee, and I saw my father, and he was all dressed like he was going someplace. And I looked at him, and then I looked again and realized that's the sign that he gives us without being able to speak very well, that he wants to go to the hospital. And I went and got Mom, and we got looking at him, and he started going into pre-seizure. He started twitching. You can see it on the face, and you can see it in different aspects of his body movements. And so we threw him in the car and roared out of there. And we pretty much spent the day at the hospital. So I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do these shows and catch up with myself, and I'm a little bit kind of out of it from it. You go do these hospital things and it takes it out of you. I used to be, take it and just, get up, keep rolling. And turns out that it eats at you. This is about the 30th trip for us with doing things like this. So we've gotten really good at it. I did see a couple of spirits prior in the week that usually that's our indicator that he's having an issue. But I didn't make the connection. and my mother hadn't seen anything, and so usually when we both check each other ahead of time, we know to get his the Dilantin levels checked and things like that. So that was a big deal, yesterday. So we're back in the game and doing our thing. I see Deb S has showed up, and so is Hope E66. Good to see you both, and thank you for coming in on a Sunday night. Deb S, let me tell you, it was a trip and a half. The good part is this time I got green lights almost all the way, but I was pretty much stepping on it to get in there. And we've got a regular ritual. I grab two books. The ritual is I grab two books. I go out, get the car warmed up, turned around, get the gate opened. Mom's bringing him in, then I get him strapped in and set down in the back seat. She sits back and watches him. I take care of all that driver stuff and do that pilot thing that I do. And we have cell phones at the ready in case we need an escort, and we got it down. I mean, this is a regular recipe, and so far it works really well. They know us at the hospital. It's they see us, so they go, oh, he's back, and they know what tests to run, and it's all set to go. So, boy, let me tell you, it gets to be a recipe, and I wish it wasn't this way, but oh, my goodness. But anyway, I was supposed to be out yesterday, speaking of things to do that I was going to be doing. I was going to be going into caves, and it turned out the group that was going to have us in got all flaky on us, so we are currently renegotiating, trying to get that all squared away. So it really worked out for the best anyway, that with everything that happened. And so we're going to be continuing our saga with that. It just goes to show you the best laid plans just don't always work out, you know. So we're going to keep going on. And, and again, for Jason, buddy, I'll tell you what, band together with us. We know what you're going through, my friend. And we are just, more than pleased to stand with you, be a friend there, because everybody goes into this kind of thing, I think. Everybody goes through these little trials and tribulations, especially when you're on BTR or you're in media work or doing psychic work or whatever. People just kind of say things that are not too nice to you, and it can mess you up. I know I see Elizabeth Rose has joined us, and she's at work. Good to see you. And we also have Stephanie. Hello, Stephanie S. Good to see you. Welcome aboard. I don't have any news items here. I'm just going to sit here and do that host chat thing. Let me think about some stuff going on. The spirit thing going on here, I'll tell you a little bit about that. I think that'd probably be a good one. It's funny, and I'm going to do a whole show about this, and I'll kind of put this out to you guys, Deb S. especially. It seems that we have the fortune of having family spirits. Oh, yeah, you know about trolls. They're evil. But this is a troll free zone. You're in a troll free place. It's very wonderful here. Thank you very much. But we have this wonderful arrangement with the other side that they will let us know when my father is having difficulties. And it seems to be family spirits. And I would like to find out more. And I'm just kind of putting the word out there for other folks out there that are doing this kind of thing in their own family, where they have, you're basically aware of the other side, that you maybe have an ability to sense spirits, and at the same time you have family members who are sick, or maybe you yourself have been ill and noticed that there were things being done to help you, or people were being warned that you were ill, or someone in your family was ill, and that these things would happen. And I really believe that there is a fairly, not a very well documented set of conditions that go on that can bring this together, where we have the other side partnering to help people who are ill. And I just think that there's something there. And Steve Reinhardt is here he's our newest member of Ghostwriter Investigations. He's a investigator in training, and he's also an intrepid slugger through swamps. Good to see him. And I just really think that if somebody is having a medical issue in the family and is able to sense spirits and starts noticing these connections and can make make the case to the energies that are out there, hey, if you do this, it would be very appreciated. So it really it just strikes me that I'm not the only person out there. You know, as unique as I'd like to feel about myself, and I'm really not. I mean, we're just ordinary people doing this thing. And, Stephanie says she has a spirit in her bathroom. You can see, and I can see it so well. You know, the problem with spirits in bathrooms is when you have to go to the bathroom. I was bringing this up the other night on the show. And it's like, what do you do? What do you tell the spirit? Do you, look, dude, chick, I got to go. Get out. You know, just, let's see. What do we got here? Oh, Steve, you're having trouble getting on. Yeah, you're in chat, but you have to go in to launch the show at another point, and then you can pull in the sound and hit our there it is. Kathy's putting that up for us. Right to spirit, bathroom spirit on the mirror. I would just put up a little sign that says, you know, something that's along the lines to spirit entity, please leave while I do my thing. Then you could come back in after I run the fan. That would be really good. And I think I see somebody, 775 area code, and I'm not sure that that's our guest, but I think that may be someone else. Let me go ahead and, hello, 775, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I've been sitting here chatting and just kind of making small talk about the crazy stuff. We had my dad in the hospital yesterday, and I was just chatting up, trying to get people that that are noticing that the spirit world helps with people who are challenged like this, you know. And so it was just kind of a rolling in. I was just getting ready to roll into, you know, I figured you might be 8:30, so I didn't have your intro ready. I'm sorry, I didn't read your bio
you
or anything.
Hang, you want me to hang up and you can get me later?
No. You're here, so I'll tell you what. I've got your website up, so I'll just let me start with that. And and for everybody, this is our guest tonight, Terry J. She's an intuitive messenger. She is an energy healer, a life coach, medium, a grief counselor, autism and Alzheimer communicator. And she's good, I think, also with strokes, if I remember right from our first show with you. And pet psychic, which is really cool. And she's got an affinity for horses, so she's a horse whisperer. So she has actually there in, I believe, the Reno area, she actually has a, what is the name of the place? I'm trying to think of it real quick. Same as It Never Was Horses, store. Yes, of course she does. And she's going to hit me. Terry's blog and what else? Products and training, media, and a contact Terry link even. So I think that kind of covers the big parts, but you've got a lot you do there, my friend.
Well, it's just a matter of getting out of your own way and letting the information flow.
Yeah, and for those who haven't heard of you before, you know, we got this intro going, and can you kind of, in your own words, talk about, you know, what you do and how you came to get into this, and just a general, we'll just dive in with that, a little bit about yourself, and we'll just take it from there, and we may have questions from the chat room that I'll just shout out to you, too.
Okay, super. Back in 1990, I was doing a horseback therapy program with disabled kids. And I picked a child up out of his wheelchair and put him on the back of one of my horses. And he said, ouch, I have a cramp in my hip. And I said, well, here, sit this way. It'll take the cramp out. And he said, hey, you can hear me. And I said, well, of course I can hear you. It didn't dawn on me at the time that he was totally nonverbal. So we went through our routine, and then I took him off the horse, put him back in his wheelchair, and he went back to class. And the gal that was helping me said very sarcastically, boy, he sure is talking great. And I said, well, you know, he's very bright. Just because he has cerebral palsy doesn't necessarily mean that he's retarded. And she said, Terry, he didn't say a word. He can't, remember? And I know if I was a horse, I would have done a buck fart snort because it really spooked me. If you know horses, they do all three of those things at the same time if they're really spooked. So,
They do.
They buck, they fart, and they snort all at the same time.
That's a talent.
So, it is. It's pure talent. So anyway, I went into the classroom, and they had put this band around his head that had a pointer attached to it, and he typed down on his computer, "Horse lady can hear me." So, and that was just about the time I turned the corner and came into the classroom, and the teacher called me over and said, "Look," and that's what he had typed out. So then I stood there talking with him, and I realized that talking with him was just talking exactly the same as talking to somebody who can speak, only nothing comes out of his mouth. It's all mental. So you got to remember, I am the biggest skeptic in the world, too. I mean, people to this day will say, "Oh, you need to meet so-and-so or talk to so-and-so. They do what you do." And it's like, yeah, right. And there's no ego in that. It's just that I still don't even believe that I'm doing it. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Absolutely.
I'm disconnected from it. I'm really disconnected. So when I went back outside, the gal that was helping me made the suggestion that I learn to try to communicate with the horses, because it's the same thing, and then that would make the program really safe. So I thought, wow, if I could just tell the horses how grateful I am, that in itself would just be phenomenal. So I set out trying to learn animal communication, and at the time there were no books or anything. Now it's like a cottage industry. And I was married to a horse trainer at the time, and of course this got too weird for him, so we divorced about 7 years ago. So I just sort of tried to sort of limp along and you know, learn how to do it. And one thing led to another, and then I ended up with two mentors that taught me to get out of my own way and no thinking allowed, just feel for the information. And so that was really helpful to me. And so one of my mentors is Deborah King, and she's a Hay House author. She's a very well-recognized Hay House author. And she would have me look at all kinds of things, like, you know, if they were looking at a major, hotel deal or something like that, she'd have me look at the property. She'd have me look at the finances. She'd have me look at every aspect of it. And she kept pretty accurate records on when I was, you know, getting stuff. And she really taught me there's no limits. There's no limits to this ability at all. And it's why I do remote viewing, remote sensing. It's why I can pick up on energies when you do any kind of ghost busting. I don't need no machine, you know.
Yeah.
I just can feel the energies where they are. So anyway, it's just been a heck of a ride, and now I'm so blessed. I get to do readings at the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno, and I do that Tuesdays, Thursdays, and then I get go in on Friday nights and do them. And oh my goodness, I'm having a blast there.
And we've talked in the past. I mean, you've continued on with this the horse work, right? I mean, that's a big part of what you do.
I love doing animal communication. I love doing animal communication. And I just did a horse last night for a gal that was in the casino. And it's really funny. People think you need to be near the horse or communicate, you know, by touching it or something, and I don't. I just go where the horse is and view the horse and pick up on the horse's energy. I mean, if we stop and think about it, you know, quantum physics is proving as much as it can, so much of this stuff, that everything's energy. So all we have to do is raise our vibration and we can pick up on energies that are everywhere.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's a theory, to get a little just a scientific here, there's an actual theory that quantum tunneling can take place where information can move theoretically across the whole universe instantaneously, therefore making the speed of light kind of a thing of, you know, that it's not a problem, you know, meaning that, you know, however it is that that psychics and mediums work, they are able to, you know, basically be anywhere they need to be to do what they're doing through intent. So that's exactly right. I mean, I really believe that. And, you know, there's no need to be in front of somebody. I've heard this time and time again with people we've interviewed, and I've seen it myself. It's just an amazing thing. And I mean, and I like the way you talk, because you've got that internal skeptic sitting there kind of sitting back, but you've also had to learn to put that aside and jump in and just jump and believe. And you know, and that's what I think, once you get past that and you just dive in, it just works and it just rolls and it flows. And I think the more you do it, the better you get.
You know, I'm still surprised, though, by my readings. I'm still surprised because I don't own them. You know, I'm just like, it's just like a translator. That's all I'm doing is translating and relaying that information. So when something really bizarre comes across, and I have a, and now I'm doing it so much in person because I'm at the casino, and so I have people in front of me, and I haven't done that. Everything I've been doing for all years and years has been by phone. So only
yeah.
when I do special events do I have, people in front of me. And this has been weird where, you know, I get spooked because of information that comes through. Like, I mean, I just I think if you get used to it where you go, well, this is what I'm hearing, and you get very, you know, bland and blasé about it, I think you ought to hang it up because it's fascinating stuff.
You know, that's the thing I've noticed. I mean, I'm doing the on-air EVP here. Same thing. I mean, we're doing communications with communication bridges with the other side. And the stuff that comes through, I just shake my head. I'm so excited to do the work because I just never know what's coming in. And the stories are just amazing. And you walk away and, you know, people ask you, why do you do this? You know, especially... It takes this part of your life away, and I'm going, you don't understand. I'm addicted to this. This is like a fascinating stuff, the human stories that come through, and I'm sure you've got like some amazing stuff you've run into. I mean, what things strike you? That come up. What thing comes up in your mind as it immediately hits you as a case that really hit you? You know, that you could talk about.
The details, as long as I don't, you know, share any names, then there's no problem. But I did a crossing over reading for a gal last night, and it was just amazing because her brother died unexpectedly, and he had gone in for some surgery, which was, you know, not supposed to be a big deal, and he just died unexpectedly. And I immediately got the cause of death, you know, what he died from, and that he had never gotten over the death of his mom, and so he just didn't want to be around anymore, even though to most people it would seem as though he had a great life, you know, wife and, you know, kids, and I think he even had a baby on the way or something. And it was so bizarre because I said, he's just a big kid. And I said, there's your mom sitting in this beautiful, idyllic setting. It looks like some sort of a lake, and it's not a cabin. It looks more like a country house. And I said, and there's your brother shattering the calm with small motorized boats, and he's got the joystick, and he's just going crazy driving those boats all over that beautiful, scenic, quiet scene, and he's just wrecking it. And she just started crying because she said, that is my brother. He never grew up. And he always was playing with some kind of stupid remote control thing, whether it was a boat or a plane or cars. And he had great delight in wrecking them constantly. So, I mean, you can't pick that up about a person. I mean, when you get that kind of information, you start thinking, oh, this can't be right. And you can't think. You have to just go, okay, this is what I'm getting. It's really weird, but this is what I'm getting. And, of course, she said nobody could have known that. Nobody could have known that about her brother, that he was just a big kid.
That's the thing is, we get that with the EVP. It's just these strange things come in, and I have to just put the internal editor aside and just say, no, I'm just going to read what I just translate. That's all I do. And
yeah.
And people think that that's like some talent, you know, and actually it's, you know, I mean, I've got psychic tendencies myself and I do, and I'm growing into this more, but it's just an amazing thing to see it, the stuff come through. And I just can't wait to do the readings. It takes it out of you a bit. I mean, and is that something that happens with you when you do the work? Do you get a little tired at the end? Do you need like kind of recharge period after you're done, or does it energize you?
I need red meat.
Red meat?
Yeah.
Well, whole protein.
You know, I was almost a vegetarian when I started this, and really strongly leaning that way. And after I started doing this work, it would just be so draining. You need so much protein when you're doing it. It just burns up protein in your body for some reason. And I've talked to lots of other people that do this work, and they say the same thing. And it's like, you know, they cringe about it because they worry about cholesterol and things. But it seems like red meat is the only thing, and not processed red meat. Just, you know, throw a steak on the grill. And that is about the only thing that will really, rejuvenate them. The other thing, too, that I want to caution you is you have to make sure you're grounded.
And I'm doing that.
If you're not doing a really good grounding where you've got roots going to the center of the earth, wrapping around the core, coming back up, and then opening your crown chakra and bringing in the white light, if you're not doing those two stages, it can be very, very draining, almost dangerously draining.
Yeah, I got it.
Sort of grounding.
Oh, I believe you. I mean, I found that out the hard way. I was pushing it so hard that Kathy, actually my co-host here, got worried about me, and I had to drag it back a bit. And I've been slowly getting into meditation work, and then doing things. You know, I'm basically saying a prayer before I do it, do this on air EVP work, and I'm really kind of crossing between medium work and EVP together, because I can fill in details and I get things. You know, I can see it in my head, and I just get it. But it's for a while there, it was really, I was just dragging, and the reading quality were going down, and I actually had to rest for a little more. And but you know what? That's a new thing that you just taught me. I mean, the red meat, I am going to hit that. And for the cholesterol thing, by the way, just a little handy thing for those of you who have cholesterol troubles, check out niacin. I actually have a lot of troubles with the statin drugs, and you can talk to your doctor about niacin therapy, and I'm on the niacin therapy regime, and it's doing wonders for me. So a lot less expensive too, by the way, but you know, that's a darn good idea with the protein. I never have heard that before, ever.
Yeah, we talk about it a lot with, you know, the other people that I work with, and it's sort of like it's something you always deny yourself, and it's not because of the cost or, you know, the fussing. It's just like, ooh, you know, I really want to limit the amount of red meat I eat. And now it's like, give me some of that.
I do like a carb load when I go back after a session, but I think I'm going to switch over to that because it's just not doing it, and I still have a little trouble. But that's like, you know, every one of these guests that come through, and you included, teach me something that I didn't know before, and you have just taught me about this red meat thing and psychic work. So I am eternally grateful. I'm going to give this a shot.
You'd be surprised how much it really helps. You don't have that second day drag down. When I'm doing the work at the Grand Sierra Resort, it's sort of like doing a special event day after day after day. And when I do special events, a lot of times it's like I get up and do my chores and then go back to bed and just have to rest. And that's what happens, you know, when I do a special event where I'm doing readings for 7 hours straight or something. And
oh,
it's pretty
God.
Funny because I just feel like now I'm just being prepped for my television show, that pretty soon I'll be doing a television show, and I've really got to be able to bounce back pretty quick because we'll be filming every day, I would think. So I'm just enjoying it in anticipation of having a TV show.
What in the heck? You have been busy. I mean, tell us about this TV show. What's going on with this?
Well, I really don't have any information. I just know I'm going to have one, and I'm just going to manifest it. And the thing is, the casino is like the perfect place to do it because you've got you know, a fresh audience coming in every single day, and it's new people and it's different people, and some people are empowered and lots of people are victims, you know. So you really get a good cross-section of a population to work with there. And the questions that people have, you just never know what's going to come through or what's going to come up, or it's just amazing. So that's really, I'm just trying to manifest that. I've sent out some videos and you know, DVDs to a couple producers, and I just know it's going to happen. You know how you just have that feeling, you know it's going to happen? We've got to get the word out about healing. We have to get the word out about healing. And it's one of the things that I feel the most strongly about, is that so many times people get these, you know, basically terminal diagnoses, and, you know, energy healing just fixes them right up. And people just don't understand that, you know, illness and injury is caused by emotions. It's got to, we've got to get the message out.
Now, how does that work in your mind? How do you see that happening, that relationship, and how it starts, and then how you ultimately end up with an illness?
I really think it's part of the reason why we come here. I think that our major intent is to aid in the expansion of the universe, and because God is all about expansion, or source, whatever you want to call it. So I think we come in with preset challenges in our lives, that I want this challenge and that challenge, and, you know, let me deal with a lot of grief, and I can handle it because, you know, if I grow spiritually from all that, you know, it'll help with the expansion of the universe. And so I think, you know, when we come into our childhoods, we sort of pick that specific childhood in order to have and develop negative patterns of behavior and belief about ourselves and even about the world. And I think we continue those negative patterns of behavior and belief throughout our life until we become aware that we're doing it, and then only then can we stop. And I think in the stopping it, we get tremendous spiritual growth. Well, those negative patterns also lead to illnesses. You know, if you think about the chakras, the second chakra is in the lower abdomen. And so that's the female organ, sexual organs, the male sexual organs, bladders, large intestine, hips, low back. Anybody who's got issues in that area, health issues in that area, they've got childhood issues that they haven't dealt with. And if you move up, then you've got third chakra, which is power, ego, and control, you know. And so it's like each part of our body, reflects where those emotions reside. You know, people that end up with throat and neck problems, that's from not speaking your truth. And it doesn't mean, you know, hey, you're a liar. It just means that whoever you really want to tell off, you haven't. And the thing is, you don't have to tell them off, because it has really nothing to do with, you know, that person who you'd like to choke the living crap out of. It just has to do with the fact you haven't been able to speak your truth to them. And so if you write them a letter, or you put a pillow over your head and scream and yell at, you know, at them in that pillow, so that it's just you getting it out of you, then you can have perfect health. I mean, everybody can have perfect health. Even my sister, I mean, this really struck close to home. My sister was diagnosed with lymphoma, and she was given 6 months to live. And I told her, I said, it's from your divorce, because she had a really, you know, crappy husband and crappy divorce. And she thought that was the biggest bunch of BS she'd ever heard. And I said, well, I said, allopathic medicine, which is basically drugs and surgery, they're telling you you're going to die. Get ready. And I said, why don't you try this? And so she said, okay, and she listened, and she went down to San Diego, and she worked with a healer down there. She had one session. And she came home, and she was all airy-fairy when I talked to her. It's like, it's gone. I felt it leave my body. It was amazing. And she really sounded really funny. Anyway, she had a scan two weeks later, and they said, what the hell did you do? And because it was completely gone. And they'd never seen anybody who had terminal lymphoma beat it, ever. So
that's like,
you know, we just have, yeah.
That's amazing. I'm sorry. I was just going, oh my God.
Yeah.
Keep going. I was just like, oh my.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's really funny when breast cancer awareness comes out, and people don't realize this. Do you know breast cancer awareness has caused breast cancer? Because what it does is it throws women into fear mode. nothing brings on disease like fear, let me tell you. And so women are examining themselves every month and going, oh, my God, I hope not, I hope not, I hope not, I hope not. Well, you know, what we resist persists. And so guess what? We get breast cancer. I mean, it really does. Breast cancer awareness causes breast cancer. I know that sounds terrible, doesn't it? But the other thing, too, is that, God forbid, somebody should call me about fundraising during breast cancer awareness. They're going to get an earful from me about what causes it and what the cure is for it and why I think it's ridiculous that people are focusing on finding a cure when it's always caused by a broken heart.
You know, it's funny. I think you're, I believe you, because I'll tell you something. I've been really making a study of actually chakras and understanding, you know, the human energy field. And there's something that for those that are, don't know much about it. I mean, you know, chakras, probably all of you in the audience know, but just so we're sure that if you're new to the show and you don't know, chakras are energy centers, you know, lying throughout the body that are, that have basically are energy whirlpools, if you will. And these are points where it's theorized by some that the spirit connects to the body. And depending on the point, as you were bringing up earlier, that particular chakra, like the lower chakras, sacral, I think it is. I'm not a big one on terms, but is more around the issues, like you said, about childhood suppression, things like that. The throat is the communication chakra. You know, crown chakra is spiritual. But the bottom line is, though, the whole body is covered in this energy matrix. And so it's the energy field that is the person, not so much the suit of meat, if you will, we're wearing. And so the disease is really in the energy field. It's not in the body per se. And it's just like you've been saying, it's this ability of to heal that field heals the body. And it's just the more, and this was known way, way back. I mean, some of the books I've been reading go back to the 1800s and are very much in vogue today, because it's this stuff is, they knew what they were talking about back then. And unfortunately, medical science is grounded in a whole different thing. You know, they've got to see, you know, this thing in front of them, an organic, you know, piece of chemistry set, which they don't realize is being controlled from a much higher source. And it's just still amazing to me how behind the times of medical science is. I mean, it's almost barbaric. You know, that would be my word. And I come from a medical family.
I call it slash and burn, because it's either cut it out or burn it out chemically or drug it. And that's how we address medicine in this country. And, you know, I read a study one time where they said that homeopathics, that there's nothing in them. And it's like, hello, it's the intention when they were manufactured. And it's like, oh, well, that can't be true unless we can find a chemical in there. And it's, no, it's the intention. It's the intention in the I take homeopathics, you know, whenever I need them rather than any kind of a drug. And same thing with flower essences. I mean, look at flower essences. I mean, they're incredible. I even give them to my dogs. They have rescue remedy for dogs, which it's called Rescue Pet. I mean, it's like doggy Prozac with no side effects. You know, when you have dogs that worry about thunderstorms and all that kind of stuff. And it's like the difference.
I'm sorry. I just had to laugh. I was like, God, I just realized what you just
the thing is that it's a great calmative, and the difference is, and I recommend the pet one to any clients that I have that are in recovery that can't have alcohol, because the rescue remedy is based in brandy. And excuse me, but it's the vibrational energy of flowers. That's what makes it work. And my dog doesn't know that he's getting vibrational energy of flowers when I give it to him. And he'll even come over and take it. you know, because he knows that I must know something, and that if I'm giving it to him, there must going to be a thunderstorm or something. And so he willingly comes over and takes it. And the pet one is in glycerin, and the adult one is in alcohol. So now I prescribe the dog one for all my clients that are in recovery so they don't take the alcohol. But, you know, we're barely scratching the surface of all this stuff. And the big thing is that if we know and understand that all illness, injury, and disease is caused by emotions or issues in the tissues, deal with the emotion, the disease disappears. I mean, do you realize how that would change our whole healthcare system in the United States?
I agree. I mean, I think there's this medieval quality to medicine that I'm still amazed at. And, you know, my grandfather was a neurosurgeon, and he did a lot of brain surgery techniques that are still used today. And he really was kind of ahead of his time, because he did... he designed programs, recovery programs, and he had a great faith in the ability of the brain to rewire itself. And he was ahead of the curve on that. And as a matter of fact, I was one of his patients because of an injury I sustained, and I came back fully from it. And it's just, you know, there's hope for what the medicine is doing, you know. But, you know, it's really the only area I see they excel is in medicine where you have somebody in a car accident. There's obvious, you know, traumatic injury. Those are the things where they put people back together and can do that. They're really good at that, and I don't have a problem with it. But when it comes to the diseases, the things that hit people, the aging process, things like that, they are so hopelessly lost in the weeds, and their model is so behind the time, I just shake my head. And and the thing is spiritual people have known these things for centuries, and I just sometimes wish they would kind of wake up, you know, from this delusion that they're in. But they don't want to. They think that they've got the model, and it's, you know, this is what you do. You hand out pills and send them packing, you know.
and it's really, we've gotten to where if we go to the doctor because we have a problem, that, you know, we're not leaving unless we have a pill. You know, we've gotten that way. I had a cat that had a sinus infection, and my vet said, just get some lysine and grind it up and put it in her food, and I was aghast. And then I went, hello, this is what you should be doing. You know, I've got a 17-year-old diabetic cat, and I just thought, wow, she's not giving me a pill. I have to actually go get an amino. Isn't it amino? Is it amino acid? Yeah. Isn't it? Lysine?
Yeah,
anyway,
it is.
Yeah, so it was just bizarre because I was so ready for a pill for my cat, you know, some kind of medication, and then I thought, wow, this is incredible. This is so much better. And I turned and looked at her and joked with her, and I said, will you quit going holistic on me? I want drugs for my kids. And I'm the most, you know, I'm always going holistic. I mean, even when I had horses, my horses got regular chiropractic and acupuncture. You know, horses have to have it. Oh, my Lord. People just, they're still not aware of it. They're still not aware how critical it is for horses to be comfortable. But, you know, the big thing is that we don't understand that breast cancer is caused by grief. We don't, by unresolved grief. A lot of people think if they hold on to their pain, it somehow makes them closer to the person that they've lost. And the opposite is true, that if they raise their vibration up higher, they can actually then perceive their loved one that has passed and actually communicate with them and feel as though they're still in their life. But we do the opposite. We think if we hold that grief, it's going to keep us close. It'll remind us of our pain and our loss, and it's just ridiculous.
Well, so, you know, the American way of death just is the most atrociously badly conceived thing. You know, and especially, you know, basically, you know, we inherited that from Europe and out into even Russia and some of the Eastern European nations are just hopelessly lost on death. And yet you look at, you know, more enlightened countries, literally, you know, further south, that that embrace the dead, and also in Polynesia and different places, the dead are part of their everyday life. And I was introduced to this in Hawaii, and this was in 1994. I went over there, and I was shocked at what I learned. I mean, it just was a happenstance thing that I learned this, and it was before I got into all this work. And I was truly amazed that, you know, I knew I was psychic back then, and I knew I had these gifts, but to find out that the families routinely involved the elders, you know, the passed on elders in their lives, and consulted with them, was just a revelation to me. And they were like all matter of fact. It's like, oh yeah, you guys in the, you know, on the continent don't understand, you know, but this is how it is. And yeah, and I was blown away. I just realized, it was like, wow, they're really enlightened. They really do that. And if anything we can do on this show, I'll tell you what, is do that. Do, and it's exactly what you said about raising the vibration level. Is bring the people that have passed in your lives back into them, invite them back into your life. We do something with putting a plate out every holiday, and a guest of honor spot for those who have passed on, and bring them in. You know, it's not an everyday thing we do, but we do it enough that we're bringing them in and remembering them and saying, hey, it's okay to hang around if you want, and make yourself known. And they do, and it's just stunning, and it's just a wonderful thing. And just because they're gone doesn't mean they're really gone. They're just a person without a body.
What I think is so amazing, and it's so healing for my clients, you know, when we do a crossing over reading, is that they need to understand that everybody passes, everybody crosses over, everybody's happy on the other side, and that they don't really care what's going on here other than to just send their love. And I think I sent you that newsletter where I just, oh my goodness, I was a little strong on that one about certain people who do this work preying on people and telling them that their loved ones haven't passed, and for $29.95, we can send them to the light for you. And that just makes me go sideways. It's maybe they're picking up on the energy, but it's the garbage dump of the person that's passed. It's not the person. So I think that people really need to understand that. And same thing with hauntings. I mean, you work with this a lot. Hauntings are caused by the negative energy that is shed off from people as they pass. It's not the dead person ever. And we just don't get that. We don't understand it. You know, if you think about quantum physics, and quantum physics says everything has a vibration, everything has a frequency, then, and you understand the other side is only pure positive energy, then when we pass, we get that moment of reflection, or I call it the V8 moment, where we smack our foreheads and go, oh, gosh, I could have done that different, right? And then everything negative is shed off and left behind, absolutely everything. So the only thing that goes to the other side is all the pure positive stuff, positive memories and positive feelings. And so the negative has to go somewhere, and if it's like a violent death or something, that energy can coalesce or congeal and take on form. And so we look at that and we go, it looks like a dead person. It seems like a dead person. So it can be a dead person, but it's not. It's just their energy that they've left behind. And I just recently saw a whole bunch of different mediums. I don't know what they are. There were some that, you know, they were even saying, oh, your loved one had a hard time getting to the other side, and I just want to choke them. You know, even if that was true, it serves no purpose except to upset the clients. And that there's just no reason for that. There's no ethical reason for that. And it's just ridiculous. It really frosts my pumpkin when that happens.
It's a new term. I'm going to write that down, frost my pumpkin. I'm going to keep that one for a special day.
I think pumpkin is a substitution for a part of the anatomy.
Yep. Yep, I picked that up right off the bat. But you know, you said something though that really struck me as very interesting is the negative side of a personality staying behind and constituting a haunting. Does that happen like every time in your experiences, or is that something that when a person dies, is there usually a process by which that's absorbed or transmuted, and then and it's only in some certain cases that it's left behind where it becomes a haunting?
Well, I think everything can be dispersed. I mean, we always use Epsom salts and Everclear to clear a space. So, you know, I always tell people if there's, you know, if somebody passes, make sure that you use Epsom salts and Everclear in the space where they were and clear the space. Because all you're doing is getting rid of the negative energy. It doesn't disperse the person who's going to come and, you know, give you a wet willy in the ear or stick their finger in your nose when you're trying to do public speaking like my lovely friends do. You know, they're still here. But it gets rid of the negative energy that they've left behind, because that's what can cause the poltergeist and, you know, all of the negative stuff that we run into when we're trying to, you know, do some ghost busting.
Now, I'll tell you, and you know, it's funny you said this about the salts, because I use sea salt, and I've also gotten into using I wear zircon for personal protection. But what is the name of that other? It's a black stone, black tourmaline. I was having a problem of my very own. I had something follow me home. And I was having trouble here in the house, and I went and saged, and it kind of got rid of it, but it wasn't really working. So I brought out the big guns, and I hit it with sea salt, threw up the tourmaline, and boy, talk about instant. It really did work, and it got rid of the problem just right now. I usually don't do that, but it just was something I had remembered to check. Somebody else had told me about, and I thought I'm going to give that a try. And boy,
you'll like this one a lot better. you're in California, so you can't buy Everclear, but you can go to a hardware store and pick up denatured alcohol. You know, like you use in a chafing dish, but it's used on remove varnish, I think. So that's what you use if you're in California. But if you're other places and you can still buy Everclear, then you get Everclear. And what you do is you put about a cup of Epsom salts in the bottom of a pan and then put on about 5 or 6 tablespoons of Everclear or the denatured alcohol, and then you light it on fire, and then you put on pot holders because, it does get hot. And then you start with the lowest level, and you just walk through the entire level. And it'll take care of any negative energy that's stuck. And, I mean, it's even good if you've had somebody who feels like they've had bad stuff, like satanic stuff, come through. It'll even get rid of that stuff. You know, because the salt is what absorbs the negativity, and the alcohol provides a way to burn it and disperse it. And that's the best way. I've never seen sage work. Ever. So to me, this way is much better. Just, it's much more thorough.
Yeah, it just sort of quieted things down for a couple of days, and then it was right back. And then I went to this other method, and it just it got rid of it. I mean, it was like overnight, you know, total difference. But the Everclear, actually, I live right over the hill from you. I'll just drive into Nevada and go get
there
some.
There you go. I have a friend who does a lot of energy healing, and it's so funny because she's a teetotaler, and she will go into the liquor store and buy 2 gallons of Everclear, and they look at her so bizarre because you can tell she's absolutely stone-cold sober, that you cannot believe how they look at her. And I went in and I said, where's the Everclear? And they're always looking at you like, oh, God, this one's going to end up killing themselves or getting sick or something. And you know, because it's so potent. And it's like, it's for clearing. I don't drink at all. It's for clearing. And they go, we don't care what you do with it. And I go, you guys don't understand. That's why people are buying this. It's for clearing. And you start telling them, and it weirds them out.
you know, that stuff is so good. I mean, I swear to God, I've had a couple of, I work in the rocket industry, and we've talked about fueling rockets with it. It's that good. I mean, there's got to be something to it. I mean, that's just kick, it's pretty kick-ass stuff, you know? I mean,
I don't know if I'd use it for rockets.
Well, it's got enough thermal energy. You could use it in certain applications. And I was just talking to an engineer about it. It came up in a subject, and I was just laughing. We were laughing, and I was like, "Could you run a liquid engine on Everclear?" "Oh yeah, yeah. You'd have to change this and this and this, but yeah, you could do it." Wow.
Oh my god.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. The cool thing is, it really does clear a space. I had a friend who had just moved into a place, and you always clear a space before you move in. And you even clear it after you, if there's been an argument. You always want to clear it, you know, if there's something negative that's happened. Well, anyway,
right.
She had horrible, horrible pain in her neck, and I just kind of got a feeling that it was something in her house more than a real physical issue. So I went over there and cleared her space, and it was pretty bizarre how high the flames will go. So you have to make sure you keep your face back or you'll singe your eyebrows. But it was absolutely bizarre because after a while, I mean, if you have a negative energy, those flames are going to go up. They'll get pretty high. So you want to make sure your face is back and, you know, no setting the place on fire. I was halfway done, and she's standing there going, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God." I said, "What? What's going on?" And I'm trying to make sure I don't, you know, drop it and burn everything. And she goes, "My neck, my neck, my neck." And I said, "What?" She goes, "The pain is gone, the pain is gone." And it was so cool because there must have been some sort of negative entity in that place, and it just had sort of wrapped around her neck. And after I cleared the space, she was like breathing in deep breaths and going, "I can breathe in here, oh, my God." I mean, she had no idea what clearing could do or not do, but she was just absolutely convinced that, you know, that place was like squeaky clean now.
You know, I really think you should work in my industry because your fascination with fire is absolutely classic. And given that Nevada is known for its defense industry work, I could just see you going around clearing haunted defense installations.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? That would just be so bizarre.
And it came to my mind, and you just have to, you know, it just hit me. You know, we could buy a big load, like, maybe, you know, 50 truckloads of Everclear and Epsom salt, and if we were to spray it over D.C., get rid of all the negative energy.
Oh, my God, the whole
city would
everything.
Everybody would be so happy. There are all these politicians, "Oh, I could be honest now," and, "Oh, my God."
Oh, my God.
I never
thought about that. That's pretty scary, though. I don't know. It'd be like Jim Carrey's movie Liar Liar, right? Clear all the negativity, and everybody would be speaking their truth, right? Oh my God, that's scary to think about. Politics, it would cease to exist.
Oh my God, I'm gonna write something on my blog called The Everclear Plan. That's it.
Oh my God,
we're gonna change the world. It's just. Oh, God. I'm glad I had you on tonight. This is great.
Get rid of all the negative energy in Washington, D.C. Holy moly.
I know. It'll be like everybody be hugging and go, "Why are we all arguing? Let's just fix it. Okay, man, what do we do?" "Well, you know, be responsible with what we buy. And we're going to do this. And we're going to do that." And everybody's happy. What the hell's wrong with these people? They were hating each other yesterday. What's going on? Oh, it's the Everclear. Okay.
Oh, really? Oh, they'd probably start... it. They'd probably start drinking it. It wouldn't work.
Yeah. It just struck me. I was just like, you were saying that. Like, negative energy. Where's all our problems coming from? One place. Okay. I think we got something.
Wow, that would be just bizarre.
Now you go on ghost hunts, right? You actually do go out on different gatherings and things out where you're at, right?
A little bit, but I don't have any patience for it because, and no offense to those that are in the industry, but I don't need no machine, you know. And I'm just pointing, well, there you got stuck energy over there. Go put some Epsom salts and Everclear there, and you've got stuck energy over here. And it's almost like, let's see how much we can scare the crap out of ourselves. I mean, that to me is what ghost hunting is. And it's like, you know, you've got stuck negative energy. You just get the formula and you just, you know, remove the negative energy and you're done. That's it. So I did a thing a couple years ago at the Bowers Mansion, which you keep threatening to come over here and look at it. And it was there was a TAPS team there or something. And
yeah.
I don't know how I got into this because I just wanted to sort of I said I would channel Eileen Orem Bowers, who is one of the first owners of the mansion. Her and her husband built it. Well, and she was a psychic, and I didn't know this until I started writing a time travel romance set there, and she's, like, breathing down my neck, telling me, no, 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 don't do that. Change that over there. There's no north door. And, I mean, it was pretty funny, though, because she was, like, right here, and she knew I could hear her, so I guess she'd been psychic when she was alive. And it was just a bizarre thing. So I said, well, if you want me to, I'll come over and channel when you do all the ghost walks. I'll channel her, and anybody that wants to can ask her questions. And it was just so bizarre because they ended up having me, like, host the tours. And I really didn't know anything about the mansion. I mean, just what, you know, what they had told me about it. But when people asked questions of Eileen, then, you know, I was given the answers. So it was pretty fun. But I got so tired because I think I did probably 12 tours, and they each had, like, 50 or 60 people in them. And so after a while, I was so tired that I had no resistance to what I was picking up on. And I would just say, oh, there's some stuck negative energy over by that transom. And they'd go, where? Oh, and they'd get all their little meters out and go up there and go, ooh, look at this. It was just pretty silly, and I just thought, can't you see that? I mean, it's sort of like, why couldn't they just see it? You know, they wanted to get a measurement, you know, prove it or something. It was just fun. So, anyway, that was my last ghost-busting effort.
I'll tell you, you know, the thing that's fascinating to me about it is the fact that it's even possible at all. That's, I mean, I got into it with the, I did get EVPs from, you know, spirits that I believe are in visitation. And I've gotten, I've run into nice energies out there and gotten EVPs from fairly nice spirits who come in and are fairly communicative. But by and large, a lot of what you're saying, I think, is right on the money, because I also get these, quite a bit of the negative ones to get out. You know, they're angry. They've got a big problem with you being there. They threaten you. They call you all kinds of names. And you come out just like you were saying. I come out of some of these places feeling like I've been beat up really bad, you know. And
take a shower.
Oh yeah,
I know.
A shower,
and you should. You should take Epsom salt, or not Epsom salt, sea salt, and baking soda. You're supposed to clear yourself with that
No dumping Everclear and lighting myself on fire. That would be bad. That would just would not work.
No. This is hot bath, and what's cool about it is you once you soak for about 20 minutes, then you sit in the tub and let all the water run out, and it pulls all the negativity off of you. It feels really weird when you do that, because usually you let the drain go and then you stand up and get out, and this you let it all get pulled off of you. It feels different. It's weird.
Oh, so you just stay in and let the water just slowly pull it through, and then you just imagine you see it going out of your body then.
Yeah. And then of course I always, after I do that, I just take a rinse off shower. So
I'm gonna have to remember
stuff that we do, isn't it?
It's not weird. I honestly, it is not weird at all. I've the more I've studied this stuff and the more I've begun to understand what spirit really is. It makes it's actually pretty common sense when you really start to look at how this all works.
Quantum physics has helped a lot in our understanding of it. The fact that everything's energy, and that you can't destroy energy. You can only change energy. So it's like when the life force or life energy of a person leaves a physical form, it has to go somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I've always found that nature has a wonderful capacity for reusing things. And you only have to look when you watch, an animal, born, go through its life, and then die, and then it becomes part of the earth again. And then eventually those atoms are found back into another, form in some other slightly changed situation. And you watch the way even, planets form or stars form, and watch all the things that go on, and they blow up and they become new stars, and there's new, there's newer elements as they evolve and the things that go on. And I just look at it and I think, why do people think things actually get destroyed? It's just, it just goes into a period of seeming random disorder, but that's really an illusion. It's really reorganizing itself for something else. And if you have patience, you will get to see the beautiful thing it will become. And I think that what struck me when you talk about how a person's positive energies go to the other side immediately, and then this negative energy stays behind, I still think that they're somewhat connected. The same, it's almost like they're the same person. There's still this connection going on. It's just this part of them needs to transmute. My inner instinct says that this negative side is still has an actual function, an actual use. It's actually doing
fertilizer.
Something valuable.
Fertilizer.
It's fertilizer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it grows some.
The only part that I have an objection, it's not my job to try to change people's beliefs or anything. But what I really have a hard time is when you get someone who's in this industry and does this work, and they tell you, ooh, they haven't gone to the other side, or they've had a hard time going to the other side, when none of that is true. To me, it's a garbage dump that they've left behind, and somebody could very easily tune into that garbage dump and go, oh, no, they're still here, they're stuck, they haven't gone. And to me, to take advantage of people and to prey on them at their time of sorrow and need is reprehensible. It's reprehensible to do that. I mean, I had a client just the other day who said that she was very upset because she had talked to a medium, and the medium had told her that her loved one who passed had a hard time getting to the light. I want to throttle people like that because, even if you saw something like that, it is totally, totally unethical to share that. You always do the kindest thing when you're dealing with people and their grief. And that, to me, is just a horrible, horrible thing to do. I've never, ever seen it. I've been talking to dead people for 20 years now, and I have never seen anybody get stuck. I've never seen anybody not cross. So the feeling that their garbage gets left behind and someone could assume that is somehow them or still connected to them, I could understand that, but it's nothing that I would ever share or try to use to get people to think differently about it. I mean, the garbage dump to me is the perfect explanation. It's the absolute perfect explanation. And I do not feel that there is any connection to it. Just like when I talk to people about how they passed or whatever, they have no connection to their physical body whatsoever. And I feel the same way about their negativity that they've left behind. Because if everything is vibration and everything has a frequency, then and the person has gone to the other side and they've left their negative, low vibration stuff behind, they can't even recognize it as their own. They wouldn't have that capacity.
Let me find a way to put this. Do you feel that what we call ghosts then are, for the most part, are these negative things? But is it not always that way? Is there a chance that some entities that some people from the other side will come back and manifest in our world and appear to us?
To me, if I miss my late husband or I miss my friend Linda or I miss one of my horses, all I have to do is think about them and they're right here with me. They're right here with me. I don't know if I can call that like a ghost, because to me I can see them, I can smell them, I can feel them, I can touch them. It's like they're just, you know, a being without a shell. To me, they're not ghosts. To me, that is, they're very specific people that have just lost their meat suit, so to speak, right?
Yeah, the thing is, in your oh, go ahead.
Well, the difference is that you can also get negative entities, negative energies that form into negative entities. Those are the ones that will scare the crap out of you because they look really, really spooky and scary. Those are not a dead person. You know, we have negativity everywhere in the universe. So can they be opportunistic and move into a place where, you know, it's convenient for them to reside? Yeah, absolutely. But are they the remains of a dead person? Probably not. They're just negative energies. They're, you know, it's you know, it can form. It's just like when people get worried and talk about, you know, it's like Satan, okay? Satan to me never existed until somebody said, you know, Satan is going to come and get you if you're bad. Because, you know, thoughts are things, right?
Yeah.
Thoughts are things. So now all of a sudden you have people talking about, really talking about, especially religious leaders, talking about how bad Satan is and how, you know, Satan's going to do this and Satan's going to do that. Well, thoughts are things. Could that have caused him to come into existence? Abso-frickin-lutely. So if you believe in him, you know, there he is. Okay, scare the crap out of yourself. But does it mean that everybody believes in him and that he would have an ability to impact everybody's life? I don't think so. I don't think so. I really don't. Because it has to be based on your belief system.
So now, do you feel...
me, that would be what I would call like a negative entity, a negative energy. This is not some thing that was ever a person. It's just concentrated negative that people believed in so much that caused it to come into existence. I mean, we don't think how powerful thoughts are until we stop for a minute and go, wait a second, everything in this room, what I'm sitting on, the computer, the desk, the lamp, the chair, the carpet, every single thing in here was a thought before it became a thing. Everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We don't realize how strong and powerful our thoughts can be. So can people cause others to be cursed? Well, sure. Can people get slimed by negative entities and negative energies? Yes. Do those always have to have been people? No.
Now, do you feel that, let's say that somebody in my life passes on, and I love them dearly, and I miss them, and one day, and I'm not particularly, let's just say I'm not particularly given to seeing, you know, apparitions, but I'm thinking about them so much, and I look up one day, and for whatever reason, I actually see them, and that sight of them, it would be a reasonable expectation then that maybe I would be able to say I saw their ghost, you know, because in your parlance, I mean, the way you're looking at it, because of what you do and how good you are at it, you're seeing them just as they are, you know, you're seeing the person, but a person who's not technically that's the thing I'm starting to understand with this. I mean, it's been an evolution for me as I've gone through this. Is to understand that you know, most people are just going to use the, you know, whatever the handiest term is to describe it, and they're going to call it a ghost, you know, even
right.
Though it's who. So I, you know, that's the thing that I keep, you know, kind of I look at it and I just think the more I talk to them, the more that I talk to the other side and find out just how nice it is over there, how, you know, everybody's happy. Everything you've been saying is the stuff I'm hearing, you know, from Big Circle on the other side. The people we bring in on the show, who talk to the, you know, we get the relatives, and then you know, these spirits come through and talk back through with us, and it's really pretty idyllic. But you know, I do think that sometimes people get these just because of they're not familiar with the subject, or they're just not used to this stuff. They're going to run into this. They're going to run into it, and they're going to use whatever the term is that's most descriptive. And so that kind of jumbles the whole thing up with the negatives and the positives.
I agree with you, John. I agree with you 100%. It's just, you know, it's sort of semantics, you know. And it's really funny, too. I know that there's a rule on the other side that says you can go and visit your loved ones, but you can't scare them. Because I have had so many clients that are saying, I saw them, and I went, and then they disappeared. So there's a rule that you can't scare anybody who's still in physical form.
Well, you know, it was so funny. I mean, this was 25 years ago. I woke up to at 3 in the morning, and I shot right out of bed. I didn't know why, but I shot up, looked across the room, and right here in the spot I'm sitting, there was a woman standing there, and she turns and looks at me, smiles. She's dressed in a shawl. Everything that you would quote call a ghost, that, you know, in my mind, I saw a ghost. And this woman looked at me, and she was absolutely ethereal, beautiful, didn't scare me in the least, other than the fact that I was just going, how the hell did she get in here? And then about the time I had that thought, she started dematerializing, and she was gone. She just slowly, and I know my mouth was dropped open. It wasn't that I was scared, but it was just the shock of waking up to this, you know, this person's in your room. And I've just come to the realization that, you know, she was actually well-meaning. There was no negative energy there. So I'm just, you know, and she was looking at two paintings I had on the wall that she was facing, looking at those. And then she just turned and smiled and just gone. So, you know, I don't think it was like a residual haunt. This was an intelligent, her eyes locked onto me. And we were looking at each other. You know, it was a good 15, 20 seconds of just, you know, what do? You know, so do you think that this was somebody who came in from the other side just to say hello? Maybe somebody, a relative who don't even know their name.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So
you knew, because there was recognition in her. There was recognition in her. You know, it's really just semantics. I mean, that's why when I'm talking about somebody that's passed away, I just call them dead people. I call them dead people. And because if we it just gets too hard where you go, well, let's talk to your Aunt Sue who's no longer in the physical, you know. It just gets a little dirty. So to me, I think the only thing we really need to know is in our puny human brains is what kind of energy are we dealing with? Is this negative stuck energy from someone who passed? Is it a negative entity? Or is our best friend who passed away, you know, sticking their finger in your nose? It just depends. My friend Linda does that all the time to me. She drives me nuts.
Is she alive or dead?
Dead. She's dead.
She comes in and she messes around with you, and she thinks it's funny.
Yeah, it's hysterical, and only when I'm doing public speaking.
Oh God!
Which I do a lot, and I have to warn her ahead of time. And I was giving a speech up in Gold Hill, you know, up near Virginia City, and I started rubbing my nose, and I just said it out loud. In the middle of my speech, I said, Linda, stop it. And my friends that were there got hysterical laughing, and they made me stop and explain why I said, Linda, stop it. But when we go on drives to go to events, that's one of the favorite things that we would do is whoever was the driver was fair game to the other person's, you know, finger being stuck in their nose. You know how you just do that? Just the threat of it gives you the willies. It's like, no, leave me alone, right? Well, so she's
still there's a ghost turning your nose is what you're telling me? This.
No, it's just a feeling. It's kind of the wet willy kind of a feeling, you know, but it's just their fingers getting really close to your nostril. You don't even have to. Just the thought of it creeps you out, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of like I mean I've already had the different things that have touched me, and I've been gently tapped on the arm and things like that, and it's even that, just if you're not expecting it, it'll weird you out.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just,
because it's like, my first husband died, and I even did this when I was married the second time. Is if I couldn't sleep, I'd say, "Oh, Jake, would you please come and spoon me?" And I could just feel him get in the bed and smuggle up behind me, and I'd be right to sleep. I still do it if I can't go to sleep. You know, so my dead husband snuggles with me. He was just the best spooner. He just was. It was one of his best attributes. Isn't that silly?
You know, but I'll tell you, it's something I've never talked about on air, but we have a long, long tradition of hunting and fishing in our family, and I grew up in a little town called Paradise, California, and a lot of you might have seen it. It was a couple of years back, the whole town was on fire, and it was a really bad fire out there. But our family, most of my Scottish side, are all from that area, and my grandmother was especially a big part of my life. I was the first grandchild in the family, and she. We had a favorite spot where we liked to fish. We call it Timber Slide, and it's way back in the boonies, and there's a particular way to get there, and only our family knows it, and it's part of the old Forest Service trail system that was basically the highways of the Sierra at one point, at one time. This is how people got around. There was no roads. It was the trail system. It's kept it by the government, and I will go fishing out there, and I will swear to God, I hear this. I'll be out there, and I'll hear my grandmother yell, "Johnny!" And I'll be out there, and I'll stop, and I'll look, and it's always on that part of the river when this happens. I'll hear her voice and her voice alone, and I know she's there. And it's just the nicest feeling, because I look up and say, "Hi, Grandma," and I'm all alone by myself. I've never told another soul this, so now I'm telling it to the world. But this does happen, and I really believe she does come back. I know she crossed and she was fine, and she was.
She's already back too, your Gram. She's already back. She's back in the family, in the physical. So anybody that was born after she passed, it's fair game that it's her.
Huh? Does it continue to? Can it continue to happen with her old personality somehow still coming through?
Oh,
because
God.
I mean, I'm here. Pardon me.
Pardon?
Well, I it kind of cut out there. What was it you said?
Absolutely. And here's the thing: is that we think of a person as being this static, finite being. Spirit is finite, and it's not. We're all essence. So, the essence of three or four people can go into one, physical form.
Whoa.
There's no limitation on it. I mean, I got creeped out a couple of years ago because it's like all of a sudden it was like I couldn't get Edgar Casey out of my head. And he was bugging me. And it was like, what are you doing? Leave me alone. I don't even know who you are. I don't know what you did. I never read a book on him. I just knew he was like psychic or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it was even to the point where I felt like he was inside of me, like I wanted to scratch a part of my anatomy that I don't have, if you get my drift.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
okay.
It was that complete. So anyway, I had a healing session, and part of his essence has come forward in me. Now, there's people all over the world that go that say they are the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. Well, that's so freaking arrogant, Could he be in all those people? Absolutely. Could a part of his memory, positive memory, wanting to go forward, wanting to do more of this work, be in me? Sure. But, it isn't something I'm going to hang a shingle about, and say, I'm the reincarnation of him. That would be ludicrous. But could he be in 10, 15, 20, 30 people? Sure. We just get too hung up on that essence thing. And it really became very prevalent for me because I had a dog that passed away, and I knew he was going to do a regular reincarnation to come back. It was just the guidance I received. And this dog was my bud. Oh, man, I was just lost without him. So about six weeks after he passed, I started looking for him in his new body, and I couldn't find him. Finally found him. And of course, you know, it's absolutely him. Well, he's got a patch over one eye, and it's like he's got a dividing line right down his nose where he's got the patch on one side and the other side is just speckled. He's a cow dog. And it was just so bizarre because I'd had him about 2-3 weeks, and all of a sudden he's leaping into the air and catching quail. He's pointing quail. And the other thing that was weird is he did this one really weird thing where he'd get up next to you on the sofa and he'd put his head down alongside you just like he was going to do a somersault, and then he would just collapse.
Right.
Well, what the learning for me was there's two dogs in that one dog body. Is my Sammy, my bird dog that died, is in there as well as the cow dog, because the bird dog somehow wanted to come back to me too, that essence. So, you know, the big thing is we have to remember with source all things are possible, and we cannot possibly see or know the big picture. All we have to do is just be receptive to it and sort of go along with the program and become empowered and not be victims and heal ourselves and be happy and be abundant. And that's really what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, that said, that's powerful. I never thought about that, and I'm going to remember. I'm going to talk with you more about that concept. We're definitely, though, at the end of the show. We're at 9:26 in the evening here Pacific time, and I'm just blown away that I never thought of multiple essences in coming into a particular new form like that. It's like a common. It's like recombining. That's like the neatest thing. I'm going to be thinking about that all night. Boy, you got me going.
Look at the president. The president is the reincarnation of Abraham Lincoln. And he's also got other wise men in there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and there's qualities in him and other leaders that are, you know, multiples. I can see your point. I mean, I can see your point. I just never thought of it that way. And I'm going to be looking at this. But with that said, Terry, this went by quick. I mean, we always, when we go talking, it just is it's a blast. I want to have you back.
I love coming on your show, John. I love coming on, and I love doing the call-ins too. We didn't have any tonight, but I love doing call-ins. They're so much fun. I love, you know, connecting to people and helping them and providing them information so that they can heal.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm thinking of bringing my team into Nevada here next month. And if I when we do, you know, when we get settled, because we were going to be going to Gold Hill to take a look
cool.
at the that area there and do some work there. Would love to just you know, I'll get in touch with you and maybe we can hook up, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I would just love it. That would be so much fun.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We'll put together a little plan to get you back here in a few months and see what's going on in the wide world of Terry. And we'll go. And I'm sincerely hoping you get your television thing. I think you're going to do it because you're really good at what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. I just try to stay in surrender and stay out of my own way and no thinking aloud and just do as I'm guided and just hope for the best for my clients.
Okay, and what's coming up for you, and is there any website information you want to give? I've already been giving the terryj.com website, but is there anything else that you got, Aaron, that's our short time?
That's my website, and that's the best way to reach me, and usually I can get I can get to people within a day or so, so there isn't some huge long wait, and I also have real reasonable rates too. I don't believe in, you know, charging people a fortune just to, you know, to try to help. And I'm going to be at the Grand Sierra Resort Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 to 4 and Fridays from 4 till 8 p.m. And that's a lot of fun, and they can come in for a quickie. They can even win a quick session with me there. So that's a lot of fun. Next in July I'll be at Art Paws in the Park, and it's a big pet event, and I'll be doing readings there during the day. It's on a Sunday. July 18th is when I'll be doing that. So
okay.
A lot of stuff coming up.
Well, way to go, and thanks a lot. We got about 10 seconds left, everybody. Thanks a lot. I didn't get to read off to everybody in the chat room, but God bless, and thanks. Thank you for being here. And Terry, we'll be looking forward to having you on again soon.
All righty. It'll be great.
Okay, my darling. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.